What must it have been like for Peter, James, and John to be in the presence of the Savior when he was transformed on that mount? To see Elijah and Moses with him. To know that their topic of conversation was of his death and the accomplishing of the work of redemption. I trust you noted that in our reading. Verse 33, it says there, or verse 31, I beg your pardon, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. That was the conversation. That was the talk amongst Moses and Elias and the Savior. And their transformation was something which was impressive. They were to appear in white raiment and glycerine. And dear soul, what Peter and James and John were witnessing and what we are reading about here tonight is indeed a preview of what heaven will be like itself. For when we shall see him, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And there we shall also be transformed. We shall be given bodies fitted for heaven itself. And there we shall know one another as these disciples were to know Moses and Elias. And there our cause for praise shall also be the Lamb that was slain from before the foundation of the world. And that anthem shall ring out for all eternity, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. But there is a sense in which we are not to wait until then to be transformed. For you'll understand that the same word is found in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And it says there, and be not conformed to this world. You see, dear child of God, we're not to be like this world. We're not to be conditioned by this world. But we are to be the difference. We are to be transformed. Listen to the rest of the verse. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are to evidence that change about us when we profess Christ as Savior. Our character, our appearance will change when we're born again. The same way in which the Lord on the mount was to be transfigured. The same word is used in both texts. But I want you to see tonight that there was to be a transformation which took place not only on the mount, but one that was to take place at the foot of the mount. For at the foot of the mountain that day, or the next day as we're told here, I believe the transformation was to take place in the evening time or the night time. And the next day when the Savior and his disciples were to descend the mount, they were to be met with a great crowd, and one man in particular. He was a father who had a great concern for his only son. He had been to others. He had even spoke to the other disciples about the condition of his boy, but it seemed all to no avail. And now he did the best thing that any father can do for his children, and that is he sought the help of the Savior himself. He sought that the Lord would look in mercy and in favor upon his only child. There could be such a transformation in this meeting tonight. If you, dear sinner, in this gathering would be brought to meet with Christ and you would heed his word, I tell you in the authority of God's truth tonight, you'll go out through those doors, you'll go home a transformed person, a different person. You see, I want you to notice here that the Lord gives the invitation in the words of verse 41. He says, bring thy son hither. But it is to the words of verse 42 that I want you to see Christ's power over the devil in the transforming of this lunatic. You'll notice first of all here the danger. It is obvious from the narrative of the danger that this young man's son was in. We've only got to look at the words of verse 39 to see something of that danger. And you have there in those words how the father expressly details what was happening to his son.
There was a spirit which had taken control of him. He says, and lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. Here was a young man, and the devil had taken possession of him. And if you were to take time to consult the other Gospels, which also detail this incident and this son, then you will come to a much fuller picture of it. For example, in Mark's Gospel, and in chapter 9, we have the added detail of the Lord asking his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And the father was to answer, and he said, of a child. Ever since a child, here was a young man who was in great danger. For the spirit not only took him, which caused him to foam at the mouth, and not only threw him down, hurting him, but Matthew and Mark also details to us that it often threw him into the fire and also cast him into the water. Such was the abuse that in pain he immediately cried out. And can you imagine what sort of sight this was to the disciples, to the others who were gathered there, to the crowd who were gathering, and especially, and not least of all, to his father? He could see this hurt. He would have known this hurt, and he had witnessed this sort of convulsion for many, many years now. This young man was in great danger. Danger which, we confess, we find hard to fully describe. He was under the control of the devil, and he did with him whatsoever he pleases. But not only do you see a danger which was in the physical sense, but I believe there's a sense here in which there's a spiritual danger. The Lord had offered the invitation to bring a son to him. We read in the opening words of my text in verse 42, and as he was yet a coming. Yes, there's a suggestion there. The decision had been made that he was going to accept this invitation of the Lord. The father was going to bring his only son to him. He was going to come to the Savior. But you know, like many under the sound of the gospel, he was yet a coming. He was yet a coming. There may have been some dilatory response, or at least there was a taking of the time to come to Christ. There may have been a little hesitation. That, my friend, is one of the most dangerous things that you can do. That's one of the most dangerous things that you can do with your soul tonight. He who hesitates is lost. Think of Felix tonight. That man who, in hearing the gospel spoken by Paul the prisoner, was moved to the extent that he trembled. And it could be that you have trembled under the preaching of the gospel before and you've done nothing about it. And Felix heard. And Paul preached on the whole counsel of God. We read Felix trembled. He was so near to accepting the Christ of God as he was presented to him by Paul, God's servant. He was so near the kingdom. But alas, he said, go thy way for this time. When I have convenient season, I will call for thee. What did he do? He hesitated. He held back. And the danger of hellfire and the lost soul was still there. And sadly, I believe it was a reality one day, for he never had a more convenient season to receive Christ than he had that very day. We never read of him again hearing the gospel. Think of Abner, standing in the very threshold of Hebron, one of the cities of refuge in the land of Israel. A place of refuge, a place of safety from all the enemies. And yet Joab took him aside in the very gate, and he thrust his spear under the third rib, so that he died. So near safety. So near, but yet still in danger. So near, but yet so far. And this young man is typical of many that sits in the gospel service. He was yet a-coming. Maybe you are that one this night. You know your danger. You know your danger from the day that you were born. You are under the control of the devil. You are a child of the devil. You are born in sin and shame and iniquity, just like every one of us. You know, as the Word of God reminds us, that every one of us have come short of the glory of God. But you have also heard, and have been privileged in being so, in hearing the message of the one who could help you. And maybe it was a godly father, and maybe it was a godly mother who pointed you through their example and through their word to Him who is mighty to save. And they saw it with tears that the Master would look upon your soul in mercy. And I challenge you to say otherwise, but you've also heard the call of that same Christ. And you maybe have sat in meetings like this and you've said in your heart, yes, one day I need to get saved. Yes, the preacher is right. He is preaching what the Bible states. One day I want to get saved. One day I need to get saved and I need to be made whole. Oh, my friend, there is a great danger where you are standing tonight. For you're maybe so near getting right with the Lord, not far from the kingdom. So near of knowing the Savior's Master's touch upon your soul. But my friend, so near is not near enough. You're maybe a footstep from the gates of heaven, humanly speaking, or spiritually speaking. But tragically delay that final step of faith and go to hell. That could be your portion. David could say, there is but a step between me and death. What if death should come before that final step is made to Christ? God's Spirit striving with you. God's Spirit beckoning you to come. Oh, what if death was to come first? It would be forever too late. So close. So near, but yet lost for eternity. Lost in the caverns of the damned. There's death and danger and delay. You cannot afford to delay any longer. For I tell you, this is the most important step you'll ever make in your life. The most important. I plead with you, dear soul, not to hesitate any longer. But come at the Master's bidding. Let me show you secondly here. You see not only the danger of this young man, but let me show you the devil's actions. The devil, having had control of this young man from his childhood, he was not ready to give him up so willfully. And the longer that the old devil has a grip upon you, then the longer he wants to hang on to you. And knowing of the battle that was raging at this present time, and knowing now of the attention of the Savior toward this young man, I want you to see his action as a response. And you'll understand here, firstly, that it was a personal action. You see, what we read in verse 39 and other verses is, we're instructed that a spirit taketh him. But you'll notice there's a different word that is mentioned in verse 42. And while the Spirit taketh this young man in verse 39, and he was tormented by the power, if you like, of an evil spirit, in verse 42, it's a different word used altogether. It is a word for the devil, and as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. The devil came himself and tried his best to stop this young man coming to Christ. His action was one of prevention. He sought to prevent him from coming to the Savior. How? For we are told that he threw him down. When the young man made those tentative steps along that path to the Lord, the devil came to throw him down, to hinder his progress along that road. Let me tell you something that has ever been the tactic of the devil. It is to prevent those under his control ever coming in contact with Christ. In the parable of the sower and the seed, which is well known, it's spoken of there so explicitly. If you turn over to, for example, Mark chapter 4 and the verse 15, you'll see it. We read there of the parable of the seed falling upon the wayside, and the birds of the air, they immediately come and they devour that same seed. What does it all mean? Well, look at Mark 4 in the words of verse 14. The Lord explains the parable. The sower soweth the word. That's the seed. It's good seed. Verse 15, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And the parable as the sower is very real in every gospel service. There are four different types of hearers, and only one brings forth fruit unto salvation. Only one bears forth fruit, being saved. The seed that's sown on the wayside, the devil comes immediately and devours it. And if you turn over to Luke's Gospel in chapter 8, you have it again. The same thought is brought out in the words of verse 12. Let me read verse 11 while you're turning. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. You're hearing tonight. You've heard maybe another night. You've heard your need of the gospel. You've heard your need of God's salvation. The word has been preached to your soul. All right, now you're in that text. They are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts. Why? Lest they should believe and be saved. You see the action of the devil? Do you see why he comes immediately to snatch away the good seed of the word? He seeks to prevent the gospel message reaching or resting upon your very heart and your soul. He seeks to prevent it taking root. Why? For he knows it is the power to transform you into a child of God. That's why. The devil understands the potency of God's word. He knows it is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. He knows that the Savior who spake the word and the dead were raised to life, the lepers were healed, the blind were made to see. He knows that the same Christ can do the same for some poor, blinded, wretch, dead sinner in their sins in this meeting this evening. The devil knows that. The devil seeks to blind the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. What action is the devil at now? What action is he likely to be at while I preach even this evening? I tell you what it is. It is to prevent the gospel message reaching your heart, your soul, and your mind. That's why in the mind of some, while you're looking to me with your two eyes, your mind could be on the things of your work of tomorrow. That's why your mind could be on the kettle in the shade tonight, or the farm around about you. That's why tonight your mind might be in 101 other things, or what you're going to do, or where you're going to go after this meeting. You see, that's the work of the devil. For he doesn't want you to receive the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. The work of the devil is to prevent you from taking heed to the word of God. Because should you take heed to the message, and should you take heed to the invitation of the Savior, you may be like this young man who is starting to make his way to Christ. And the devil will come to you and he'll say, don't worry about what the preacher's saying, you're a good churchgoer, you do this and that, you'll be all right. I tell you, there's many a people in Ulster tonight and they've been damned listening to that lie. And they're buried in the graveyard as good churchgoers and good people. They're never saved. That's the sad reality.
What else was the action of the devil? It was one of pain. For it says the devil threw him down and tear him. There was a rending of him. There was a convulsing. In other words, as much pain as possible was meted out to this young man. It goes to prove that the devil is not some sort of being who keeps his promises. And the promises of the devil are many times to the young person in particular. They consist of having a good time. That's the allurement that he uses for many. Having a good time, whether it be the drugs or the drink or the immoral living of this land. That's the lie of the devil, you see. Ah, listen, the dazzling lights and the well-presented adverts never tell the whole story. They never show the pain and the hurt that is caused due to sin. They never show the hurt and the pain that is caused as a result of such actions. They never show the cuts and the bruises that appear in the morning and there's a wondering of how they got there. They never show the pain and the hurt that is endured in the homes of the children that are abused, of wives that are beaten and made to do without. Never show that. They never show the heartbroken parents who wait up all night and they can't sleep and they wonder where they have gone wrong in the bringing up of their son or their daughter. They don't show that. Or the anguish of soul of what state they will find them in. Many a godly couple tonight finds them heartbroken over a son or a daughter who has been caught up in some vice of the devil. Listen, the devil is out to do you harm. He's out to cause you as much pain as he can. And if he can, he will do so and he will drag you down so low until one day you drop into that bottomless pit. And there you will be in torments and you'll rise and sink in those flames which shall never be quenched. That's the devil's desire for you. That's his purpose. I wonder, is that you tonight? I would that you would not be mistaken as to the actions of the devil. It's plain for you to see from our text and the words of this passage what he's about. He didn't want this man's son to come to Christ, and thus he tried his best and he tried all in his power to prevent that happening right up until the very last. Tell you that he's at the same work just now. People have been spoken to in meetings. People have been under conviction of sin by God's Spirit. They knew they ought to get saved, but such was the attack, such was the lies and the allurements and the actions of the devil that they got out and they went out of the meeting unsaved, unconcerned, or at least to show that way. Thank God there has been those. God's Spirit has strove on, and I'll tell you, you're looking at one, because I left meetings just the same. And the night I got saved, I left the meeting. And God had spoke to my heart, and I knew that I needed to be saved, and I was told, be sure your sin will find you out. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But I walked out of the meeting. God's Spirit strove on. On the side of my bed, I got the grace to get down and to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save this sinner. And thank God he answered prayer. God's Spirit can strive on, and he strives, has striven on the souls and brought them back from a great distance to receive Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. Tell me, what's going to be your response tonight to the gospel? Are you going to let the devil have his way again tonight? Are you going to come to Christ now and be saved? Get this matter dealt with. Get the sin question sorted out. Preacher, I'm coming to Christ now. Let me show you here finally the deliverance wrought. You see, the Lord, knowing what was taking place, having saw the raw work of the devil in action in this man, he rebuked the spirit. Verse 42, and as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tear him, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And there you have a demonstration of the power of Christ in action. And his power was greater than that of the strong man. The devil tonight, he must always bow to Christ. Satan to Jesus must bow. He is inferior to the power of God. We have a great adversary against us, but he is a wounded adversary. He is already a defeated adversary. He tried his best to hinder this young man coming to Christ. Aye, it was the same tactic that he used against the Savior himself. For you remember how the devil tried his best to hinder the Savior going all the way to Calvary. And I turn your thought to the Garden of Gethsemane, and the devil there sought to prevent the Lord from going through with the work that the Father had given him to do. And he was to use even one of those who were closest to the Savior. For Peter was to step forward and he was to cut off a ear of the soldier. And there could have been a great melee at that time. There could have been like an open warfare amongst the soldiers. And that would have denied the Lord from going to the cross. But the Lord stilled the thing. And the devil was defeated in the garden. And when Christ willingly laid down his life on the cross, the devil, even to the very last, was trying his best to get the Savior to come down from the cross. And the devil inspired people around the cross could be heard to cry out, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. Come down from the cross and we will believe you." And my dear soul, if Christ had have come down from the cross, then I could not have preached a message of salvation to your heart tonight, for the work would not have been finished. But bless God, he endured the wrath and he despised the shame. And there on the tree, the power of Christ prevailed over the devil. He bruised his head at Calvary. He went through with the death of the cross so that sinners such as you and I might be saved. He finished the work that the Father gave him to do. He cried, "It's finished." Yes, the devil's powerful, too powerful for any one of us. But the Lord Jesus Christ is all powerful, and there's nothing which is impossible of God. I remind you of 1 John 3 and verse 8. It says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested." Why? That he might destroy the works of the devil. Having rebuked the spirit of the devil who resided in this young man, he was then to heal this young man. And his only son was cured from this condition which he had known all his life. He had heard the word of the Lord. He had known the touch of the Master. And he was made whole. He was brought from a state of sickness into one of being well. A miracle had taken place. And it was there for all to see. You know, the people around about that day could see what happened. And they could see the transformation that had occurred with this lunatic, with this young man. So much so that they cried out in verse 42, or verse 43 we read, and they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. His deliverance was complete. And to signify that, we read the Lord delivered his son back to his father. The father could rejoice as never before, for he had a son back with him again. He was no longer in the grasp of the old devil. He was no longer under his sway and control. He had been delivered. And you know, this was the father who cried, and we read it in the other accounts, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." He believed the Lord could heal and cure his only son. And that faith proved to be well-founded.
And what the Lord did for this young man's son, He can do for a loved one tonight. My dear sinner friend in this service, the Lord can deliver you this evening just now from the touches of the devil. He can deliver you now from the bondage of your sin. But you must come in repentance and faith. You must believe to the saving of your soul. For Romans 10 reminds us, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I wonder tonight in closing, will you take that step of faith? Will you receive Christ as your Savior? I tell you tonight, He can cancel the power of the devil in your life just now. Satan to Jesus must bow. He can transform you. And He can make you to be a new creature. Old things passed away. All the sins of the past under the blood. Your soul right with God. The old cronies away. And new friends in Christ. All things passed away. Behold, all things become new. That assurance that it is well with your soul. Will you not come? Will you not come to my Savior? God help you to do so. May you know tonight the saving power of Christ in your life. Amen.